Well, I've been looking forward to this morning, and I've been enjoying our series on marriage illusions, finding clarity that leads to happiness in the relationships that we value the most. There's a lot of misconceptions around culture and society that says, do it this way or do it that way, and this will work and lead to a happy relationship. And we try them, and they don't work. And then we're frustrated because we've put forth the effort, but the outcome is not what we intended or what we thought it would be. So how do we find clarity that then leads to happiness in the relationships that we have? And that's the journey that we're on in this series, and we're going to continue in that one today. There was a man who went to church, as you're in church today, and he was heavy-hearted about his marriage. And so after the service, he asked if he could talk with the pastor, and they went to the pastor's office, and they sat down, they got a cup of coffee, and they began to talk. And the man began to confide in his pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I've got something to tell you that I've never told anyone in my entire life. It's extremely difficult for me to even talk about it right now, but I have to let you know that my wife and I have been fighting every day for almost 30 years in our marriage." Well, the pastor was a young pastor just kind of settling into a new work, and that kind of shocked him, you know. This was a faithful person and, of course, several decades of marriage under their belt, so he was kind of reeling with what to say to that. And the young pastor said, "Every day?" And the gentleman said, "Well, yeah, just about every single day." And the pastor is still trying to figure out exactly how he should respond to this person even older than he. And he said, "Well, did you fight today before you came to church?" And he said, "Yeah, we sure did. We do every day, and we did again this morning." He said, "Well, how did it end up? How did you get here?" He said, "Well, she came crawling to me on her hands and her knees." And the pastor at this time was kind of horrified about what did the husband do or what did he say. And so he said to the husband, he said, "Well, what did you say to her? What did she say to you?" And he said, "Well, she came to me and she said, 'Get out from beneath that bed and fight like a man.'" And now, I don't know how your morning went. I don't know if there was anybody under any beds or any invite for a fight. But I do hope that today will encourage you and bless you and help you, all right? And this morning we're going to talk about the time together illusion. Now, the time together illusion is that quality time together is more important than the quantity of time together. Why do we believe it? Well, we allow the pace of our culture to so fill our schedules and divert our attention that we hurry through life only allowing for sporadic times to connect with one another. When those times come around, we attempt to compensate for their infrequentness by making them as grand as possible. Man, you just read that, and that just fits our culture and society today. We're busy, we're running, we've got more on our plate than ever before, but when we finally get time together, we really make up for it by making it big. What does the Bible say? 1 Peter 3:7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." And I would tell you at face value, you're never going to get to know anyone who you don't spend time with. But the word dwell there means companionship or togetherness. And God intends for your relationship and mine to be a place of companionship, togetherness, deep time being spent together. Now, notice the Shulamite couple and Song of Solomon and the time that they enjoyed in your notes. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 3. "And as the apple tree among the tree of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Verse 4, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. My beloved spake and said unto me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now, we may not, talk about our spouse the way that they did. You may not describe your husband as, you know, he's the best apple tree in the whole forest, you know, or whatever. You might use a little different lingo than some of that. But here was a husband and a wife who were madly in love, who were taking great time to express appreciation and admiration and to spend time together, whether it was out among the lilies, whether it was in the banqueting house, whether it was he had his left hand under her head and his right hand does embrace her. All of these moments were shared together as husband and wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." God's intention in our relationship is that it just gets better and better over time. But that's only going to happen if we redeem the time, if we make the time count and invest the time necessary into our relationship. And it's interesting as we go into this to stop and to point out that we don't expect this approach to work in any other area of life. But we often do in the home life and in our spiritual life. Like, we think if we go to church like just a few times, that we should really be advancing great things for the kingdom of God. We think if we get but just a few moments with our spouse or our children that we're just doing fantastic. But we don't think that way when it comes to like brushing our teeth. We don't grab a toothbrush and put some toothpaste on it, some water on it, and then just kind of give it a 1 second run over here to 1 second run over there and then put it down and say, "Man, I'm ready to go." Friend, you're not ready to go. You got to get that brush back in that mouth and give it some time. Okay? If you're like me, you got one of those toothbrushes that times it for you. I don't know how many of you got those. I do. So it's 30 seconds on this side. You go across the top and around, you know, I could show you. It's quite an interesting thing. And then 30 seconds, and then 30 seconds on top. It's 2 full minutes, friend, that you're supposed to be in there getting the job done. Okay? And it's a couple of times during the day. That's another lesson. I'm not going to teach it right now, but it's as equally important, all right? We don't think that way when it comes to exercise, you know? I ran from this side of the room to that side of the room, and then I had 4 donuts, you know? And I don't understand, you know? I mean, there's lots of areas of life that we understand. If there's going to be a product, there's going to have to be an investment of time and energy. But sometimes when it comes to life, to marriage, to family, even to church and to God, we just assume that very little investment should have a great return, and it's simply not the case. In fact, Zig Ziglar said, "It takes considerably less time to maintain a living relationship than it does to repair a broken one." So we can either wait until it's broken and dysfunctional and then try to resurrect it, or we can discipline and prioritize to maintain it properly with the right amount of time together. So how do we expose this time together illusion? And then how do we correct it according to the principles of the Word of God? Let's jump in. Number one, the importance of enjoying time together. I want to give you 6 realities about spending time together with your spouse, with your family, with the people that you love. Okay? Letter A, time together provides a remedy for stress. When you're together, it's a reliever of stress. You say, "Brother Roel, you don't know my spouse. That's my problem. You know, that's my cause of my stress." We'll get there. Hang in there with me, all right? But it's good to spend time together. It's a reliever of stress. Mark 6, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so as much to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." Jesus said to his followers, "Come with me. We got to get a break. We've been ministering, not even time to eat. We've got to bring some balance to this." And certainly there's balance needed in our relationship with the Lord when it comes to being the Martha in the kitchen and Mary at his feet. But there is balance certainly in our earthly relationships and marriage, in which we're talking about this morning as well. In fact, J. Hudson Taylor said, "It matters not how great the pressure is, only where the pressure lies. As long as the pressure does not come between me and my Savior, but presses me to Him, then the greater the pressure, the greater my dependence upon Him." So life has pressures, but if that pressure is driving me to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can handle it. Well, marital life has pressures, no doubt about that. You have to discern, are the pressures in our relationship driving us closer or further apart? And time together relieves that stress, the pressures of life, home, responsibilities, bills, kids, whatever it is. When there's time, adequate time together, it's a stress reliever in the marriage relationship. But let it be, time together places value on our relationship. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's impossible for me to communicate to Susanna authentically my love and never spend any time with her. That's not genuine on my behalf. It's hypocritical. Rings and jewels are not gifts. Every man said to that, praise the Lord. But apologies for gifts. The only true gift is a portion of oneself. Now, I'm not advocating never buy your wife jewelry, all right? I think you probably should. But the point is, you can get the grandest of gifts if it's been a long time since you've given of yourself to your mate. That's a problem. You want to give yourself to them. That's the greatest gift you can give. And time together speaks volumes in this way. Let us see. Time together reconnects us with one another. Now, there was an original connection. The Bible says in Genesis, in the rib which the Lord God made, God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. We know that God created Adam. God created the garden. God put Adam in the garden to steward it. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Every husband said, praise God for that. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. God took a rib. God made Eve. Adam woke up and said, wow. And there was Eve. And man, life has never been the same, and that's mostly good. And that was God's intent, all right? Genesis 2:24-25, leave father and mother, cleave one to another, be one flesh, naked and unashamed. That's God's plan. That's God's original intent. That's how God wants it to be. But you're not going to have that connection that God intended without time together. It's just not going to happen. That's a basic fundamental principle that if you're going to have the kind of connection God wants you to have, you're going to have to spend time together as husband and wife. Letter D, and I like this one. Time together provides opportunities for laughter. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Sometimes when there's an absence from one another, then the time together is under such pressure because we have so little of it together that it has to count. It has to accomplish everything. It basically has to be perfect. And when it ceases from being perfect, then it just makes everything worse. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a couple going through something like this, but sometimes a couple will go through a season where there's such great stress and pressure in their relationship. There's not a lot of time. And then finally they get time together, but that time is under such pressure to perform such miracles in the relationship that when it doesn't meet that standard, it just makes it worse. And the couple literally gets to the point where they're like, being together for us is bad. We are better when we are apart. Now, how many of you would agree with me that in a marriage, when you've come to the conclusion that you're better apart than together, you're going the wrong way? Okay? When you've convinced yourself that we are better when we are not together, that's the wrong direction from God's intent. But that's what happens when we don't have time together. We need time together. And when we have an abundance of time together, there's balance and there can be joy. Dennis Rainey said, the joy of courtship coupled with romance and laughter usually characterizes dating. But this joy can quickly dry up after marriage. Courtship or dating, romance and laughter go hand in hand because they demand focus. That's why we need to make it a priority in marriage to find ways to participate in the fun, laugh-generating antics we did when we first dated. That means we must flee from the television, the telephone, and the computer and focus on each other. It was very easy in the developmental stages of your relationship to so prioritize it that everything else took a back seat. But it is also so easy in marriage to take one another for granted that your relationship takes a back seat and these other things that nobody this morning would advocate are as important get a higher slot on the priority rod, if you will, and now the marriage begins to suffer. So it must have time. Dennis Rainey went on to say, laughter is a gift given to help us keep life in balance, to put the frosting on the joy that God has promised us even in the middle of difficult times. Laughter is such a good medicine. To just have fun, to just enjoy life, to just be in each other's presence and to make a memory. We're going to talk about some of that a little bit later in this. What's another advantage to this? Letter E. Time together creates lasting memories. Dennis and Barbara Rainey in their book talked about memories are best made with those of you love being with. And you want in your marriage relationship to cultivate an environment where you just love being together. That if there were one person you could pick to go do whatever activity it would be, it's your spouse that you want to do that and make that memory together. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything together. There's nothing necessarily sinful or wrong about, you know, some guys getting together for this or some ladies getting together for that. But I would challenge you this. If all of your fun is being had with other people, that's very unwise. If the time you're spending with your spouse is, you know, vacuuming carpets and making dinners and changing diapers and paying bills and shopping or whatever, you know, if there's never any fun moment shared there, that's a problem. And it's not that everything you do has to be with your spouse, but you want to make sure that you're having more fun with your spouse than you're having with anyone else. It's really quiet, so I'm going to keep talking about this point for a little while as I kind of read you for a minute here. But I'm all for having fun with other people. But let's just put life, let's just talk real, okay? We're all busy. We got jobs. We got responsibilities. We have demands. We have commitments, right? And the recreational time that we have, the margin time, the free time, it's limited. So if I take all that I have and I rob it from my family and I give it to whoever for whatever, what advantage is that? Where's the wisdom in that? Does that not sound to you like that would be me being very selfish? Does that not sound to you like that would be me being very short-sighted? That it's about me, it's about what I would enjoy, and it's about now. I'm not taking into consideration the long-term view of that decision. Because here's what happens. When I lead the way in that, you know what everybody does who follows me? They do the same thing. So fast forward 12 months in the rural household. You want to know what it looks like? Gabe's over here doing his thing. Susanna's over here doing her thing. Mariah, Lydia, Annalena, and Joseph are over there doing their thing, and we're never together. You know whose fault that is? Mine. You want to know why? Because I created an environment where if we're going to have fun, we better get somebody else involved. Wrong. It should be in my home that if we really want to have fun, we're going to be together. Yeah, we can go other places. And Joseph went to a hockey game last night with some friends. That's fine. You know, he played football yesterday. That's fine. You know, I told Joseph this morning, the way I said, Joe, man, we bought that flag football set. We haven't used it yet. Football's over. Let's go play. He said, man, Tuesday. Let's get the whole family. Let's do it. And you know what we're going to do Tuesday after school? The rural fam? We're going to go to a park, Sergeant Owens Park. We're going to put on the flags. We're going to get a football, and we're going to play flag football. And we're going to have the time of our life. And our kids are going to walk away from the afternoon remembering, if we want to have fun, we do it right here. There's nothing wrong with fun elsewhere. But if all the fun is elsewhere, that's a problem. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And if you take the context of marriage, it's a couple saying, what could we enjoy together? Let's do that together. What could we as a family do together? Let's do that together. So making memories with those we love. Making memories, by the way, making memories takes time. You have to invest time in order to be able to make these kinds of memories. And you're going to have to vary what you're willing to do. Friend, I have three daughters. I have done all kinds of stuff that I would never choose to do for the purpose of making a memory with a girl. Whether that was having tea time. My girl's a little older right now, so if I want to make their day, I take them to go do a manicure pedicure. Now, I'm not going to offend anyone, but Brother Earl does not do manicure pedicures, all right? I'm too old school, and I'm too far into it now, and I'm just not going to do it, all right? We're good. I love you. This is not a separation of manhood or whatever. This is just the way it is, okay? It's just not going to change, all right? So it is what it is. But I'll take them. And they'll enjoy it. I'll take them to musicals. I can't stand musicals. The whole thing to me is just, it's entertainment in a way that you don't understand from just my perspective. But I'll do it. Why? Because they absolutely love it. They absolutely love it. They enjoy it. And so I'll do it. So I've had to learn to get out of my comfort zone and to do stuff that I would not enjoy because they enjoy it. Now, I will tell you the flip side of that. They've done the same thing. I've got three girls that love playing football. How cool is that? I'm a blessed dad. I have three girls that love to go whitewater rafting. They love it. I've got three girls that love to ride roller coasters. I'm into stuff like that. They've never made a roller coaster I won't ride. And I've got all three girls that'll do the same thing. So I've been blessed. They've stretched in some areas, and they'll do some stuff Dad enjoys. And I've stretched in some areas, and I've done some things that they enjoy. It's going to take a varied approach to make those kinds of memories. Memories are both planned and unplanned. Memories are celebrated. Time together creates memories and moments. Now, we spent more time here than I ever thought we would. But let's just, before we leave, think. When's the last time my spouse and I made a memory? Just think. When's the last time you and your spouse made a memory? You say, well, what is a memory? Just think. When's the last time you did something you remember? That was a positive thing. Some of you are like, man, I need another donut. This is getting really hard. A little more sprinkles or something this morning. Help me get through. When's the last time your family made a memory? When's the last time there was something there that you remember? It's something that you'll look back on for sure. Letter F, time together provides needed rest. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. You know, sometimes in marital life or family, you just get exhausted. You just get running. And, you know, maybe it's where we've been faithful to church, the kids in school, there's homework, there's projects, and then, and you know, there's missions conference, and there's sports, and there's music lesson, and there's this, and there's that. And it's just, boy, the plate can just, every available square inch is filled. And every now and then, you've got to carve out some time just for some needed rest. So there are some realities, there's some benefits of this kind of time together, okay? Secondly, though, let's look at the investments to make for time together. Now, let's be honest. If having quality time together were easy, more people would do it. It's not easy. Then take the spiritual dynamic look to this. Satan understands the value of husbands and wives having time together. So guess what he does? He fights against that. Satan understands the value of families having time together. He fights against it. You say, Brother Rule, what do you mean? Okay, here's an illustration. So think back 7 days, last class till now. How many times have your family sat down at a dinner table, prayed, and ate a meal around a table without interruption? Think about it. That's a good thing. But it's not as easy as it sounds, is it? And Satan fights that. It's amazing what comes up. It's amazing what interferes. It's amazing what begins to compete for time and energy. And so if we're going to have the kind of time it requires, we're going to have to make an investment to make it happen. A national survey of strong families was conducted by the Human Development and Family Department of the University of Nebraska. And they came up with these qualities of a strong family. They said a strong family is a family of appreciation. They express gratitude and compliment one another. They said a strong family has the ability to deal with crisis in a positive manner. They can deal with problems without being offended. They said a strong family spends time together in every area of their life, their meals, their work, their recreation, their structuring, their schedules to spend time together. He talked about strong families had a high degree of commitment, that they were promoting one another's own happiness and welfare, that they were invested as far as time and energy and the commitment needed to make family the priority that it should. And by the way, I had some conversations yesterday. Commitment is always at the foundation of a strong relationship. People on the reciprocal side of your relationships need to know that you're committed. That's not asking too much. That's bare minimum, and it needs to be known to them. This survey went on to talk about good, strong families have good communication patterns. They had the ability to communicate, spending time together, et cetera. Then also talked about how they had a high degree of commitment to faith. They had a presence of faith in the home, and a commitment to a church. And of course, this was done by a public university, but this was one of the characteristics they found in strong families. So let me give you seven great investments when it comes to spending time together. First of all, letter A, worship the Lord together as a family. Now, Hebrews 10:25 tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I would challenge you as a family to worship the Lord together. I love going to church as a family. Our Sunday morning is a little fragmented. Susanna's teaching second grade girls. I'm in there. I've got, this morning I had Mariah with me in church. Lydia was in nursery. There's some children's classes and so on. But Sunday night, probably every Sunday night of the world, the six of us are going to be sitting together in church hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because I think it's important to worship God as a family. Now, that's corporate worship in church. That's just one part of it. But I think it's important. And many of you are in the habit of doing that, and I commend you. Many of you are doing it better than I am. But make that a priority and continue in that passion. But when you think about a commitment to worshiping the Lord together, it's not just at church. It should be every day in your house. There should be some routines in your house that speak to the value of worshiping the Lord. There should be some time in His Word. I don't know how you do that in your home. And certainly as your children develop, you want them to have their own walk with God, where they're spending time in God's Word, where they're praying. So that may not constantly be with you at a younger age. It's probably at a necessity that it is. So you discern that, but you want to make sure there's time with the Lord as a family. Then there are a lot of simple ways to do that, as you assemble for a meal, to just take time to pray together. We're coming into missions conference. This was an idea I got years ago that's been fun. We'll have, 20 or 30 missionaries here next week, and they'll all have prayer cards. Have your kids go around to every missionary display and get a prayer card from every missionary. Then designate one of your kids as the missions director of your home. They'll think it's the greatest thing in the world. It's actually not anything, but they think it will be, and if you make it big, it'll be big to them, all right? Annalene is our missions director. So who's the missions director? You're going to be the missions director for our house. Wow! What does that mean? Here's what it means. And we just did it for Annalene because that girl doesn't forget anything. So we said, Annalene, it's your job before we pray for the meal to get a prayer card out of the box. And Suzanne has a nice little box, and we rotate through them. And we bring that out. Well, that's a simple way to remember, boy, here's somebody sharing the love of Jesus over in Nigeria. We want to pray for them today or whatever. There's lots of things you can do to make sure there's a spirit of worship in the home. Singing, good Christian music playing in the home, especially in the mornings, is so important. Time in God's Word. Talking to your children about the things of the Lord. I have a routine on the way to school. I drive our children to school. It's just the way it works for our schedule. And three things are included in that routine every single morning on the way to school. Number one, we sing the song, "This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Every morning we sing that song because I think that's a good way to start out the day. It puts it in perspective. You know what today is? It's a gift from God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be glad in that day. Then the second thing I do in my routine is I give them a thought from the proverb of the day. So this morning I read Proverbs chapter number 20. And I would, as I'm reading for my own benefit, I'll also be thinking, what could I share with my children? And on the drive to school, I'll say, I read Proverbs, whatever chapter it is that day. Tomorrow will be chapter 21. And then I will say to them, here's a thought that God gave me that I wanted to give to you to think about today. So the second component is a quick thought from the scripture. The third component is prayer. Now, I don't recommend close your eyes when you're driving, but so I pray with my eyes open while I'm driving. Sometimes I'll have the kids pray, and I'll say, Joseph, why don't you pray this morning? Or I'll have all four kids pray, and then I'll pray. It varies. I try to change it up, keep it fresh. But every day on the way to school, it's going to include, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to include a thought from the Word of God, and sometimes I'll change that up, and I'll say, Mariah, tell us what you read this morning. What did you get out of it? Lydia, what did you read this morning? What did God say to you through that? And they're at an age where I would expect an answer. So sometimes I'll do it that way. And then we'll pray. So these are just ideas of things, and you have others and so on. But just what can we do to worship the Lord together? How can we keep that at the forefront? Let me give you one more. We're out of time. Letter B, date your spouse weekly. Date your spouse weekly. Now, what's an investment you can make in time together to date your spouse weekly? Now, what does this mean? It means setting some time aside each week for some time together. This doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of money spent, but it should be an investment of time and energy, all right? Now, we've got some, we've got lots of different life stages represented here. We've got some that maybe with children and childcare, that's a challenge. Okay, then find another couple in here. It's a challenge for them, and you take the first Friday of the month, and they've got the third Friday of the month or whatever, and kind of figure out some kind of a rotation. If it's young ones, boy, put them to bed. You can do a lot of creative things, even just around the house for dates and for some time together. It doesn't have to be, you know, high end. You know, we went to, you know, this, you know, steakhouse or whatever every week. But it's important that there is a weekly date time with your spouse. I'm going to get into some of the benefits of that next week when we conclude this. But make that an investment. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to understand time together has benefits. There's a lot of them proven in the Word of God. But I have to make an investment to make that happen for us in our marriage and in our family. And we want to make sure chiefly that we are worshiping the Lord together as a couple or as a family, that that's part of the fabric DNA of our relationship. And then secondly, that we're spending time together, at least a weekly date that we can plan and look forward to. And we will conclude that lesson next time. I thought I would get through it today, but I stopped on the Mary Heart having benefit because, I don't know, we just did. So hopefully maybe it was for me. Maybe I needed it this morning and need to take Suzanne and go ride a roller coaster ride or something. I don't know. So pray for us that we'll go have some fun. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time together this morning, Lord, with you and with friends in our class and in your word. And I pray that you would help us to understand the value of time. Truly, time spells love. And so I pray that we would see the benefits of time and that we would be committed to making the investment of time. And I pray that we would sideline some lesser important things so that our relationships would have the time necessary to thrive. And may today we commit, we're going to worship the Lord together. May today we commit, we on a weekly basis are going to spend time together in a fashion that is enjoyable, in a fashion that we look forward to, in a fashion that is refreshing for our relationship. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the marriages and families in our class. Help us to continue to learn, to apply, and to grow forward. And we'll praise and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.